How's Sharon doing?
Very well. We're all really busy. Very busy.
Well, say hello. Tell her John Franklin says hi. She
okay.
knows who I am.
We miss her on the board, but we know
yes.
she's continuing good work in
yes.
the community. Yeah. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Looks like you made it, John.
Well, for a while, anyway.
Okay.
Well, I'm just working on getting to the meeting agenda here, so.
In the meantime, I can call it to order.
I think you have
6:02, so we're good.
6:02, thank you.
First item on the agenda is certification of compliance with the Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
Yes.
Seems like an easy one.
It is. We comply.
All right. And now the feature program. Financial Coaching Partnership with the Sharing Center. So take
yes.
it away.
All right. Thank you. So hi, everyone. For those of you that are new to our meeting, my name is Mary Madden. I'm here from the UW-Madison Division of Extension, Kenosha County office, and I will be going through a highlight of financial coaching, a partnership with the Sharing Center, and joining me tonight is Stephanie Witkiewicz from the Sharing Center, who graciously agreed to come co-present to talk a little bit more about what we've been doing with the financial coaching. So, as we go through, let us know if you have questions. Otherwise, we definitely can go through questions at the end as well.
Then I have a question, Mary.
Yeah.
It's about sharing.
I have this to pass around.
Okay.
And then
an annual report and whatnot.
There's a couple. I didn't bring enough copies. I didn't know how many people, but
if we could. Napkins for
oh, do,
during.
Please.
Yes.
I'll send some more.
Yeah, okay.
No, no. I thought there was like five people.
Didn't think of that.
That's okay.
So,
I have to drive through Seattle before that. You can.
Did you? Whatever.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
I have to show down some food.
Just because they're a party.
All right. So, a little bit about what financial coaching is, just to have everyone on the same page. If it is something that you have heard about, just keep in mind it's a pretty general overview. So financial coaching is basically an approach to help individuals and families increase their financial capability. It is different from counseling, advising, or teaching. So with coaching, we let folks know right away, I'm not a financial professional. I'm not here to give you advice regarding your finances. There are other resources that we can connect you with if you were looking more specifically for something like credit counseling or rebuilding or things like that. A lot of it is just more the one-on-one sessions to help people work on goals and work through and to gain performance improvements. It's really completely client-driven, so something that Stephanie or someone else at the Sharing Center or myself talk with people right away is that it is voluntary. So there are a lot of benefits from allowing people to choose to include themselves in the process, and then also explaining, too, that there isn't a set amount of time. It's really based on what's going on with them, the types of goals that they have, and kind of what they think is helpful at that moment. And then the big focus is ongoing behavior change, goal setting, and then goal monitoring. So it looks different for everyone. And it is kind of going through this A4 financial coaching process. So this is something that UW Extension has a long history in financial coaching training.
Hello. Are you here for the public hearing?
Zoning?
Yes, that's at 7 o'clock. In the auditorium, right?
Well, it's going to be in here.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they've got bees over there, so we can...
Oh, I guess you'll be in here at 7 o'clock. You're more than welcome to join us, though.
Yeah, because one date, today, said the 6th, too.
Yeah.
At 6 p.m.
So there's two parts to the meeting. This is the education for...
Extension, Wisconsin.
UW Extension. So that's the first half of the meeting, or first part of the meeting at from 6 to 7. And then from 7 o'clock on is the public hearing.
Sounds good.
You're more than welcome to join us and listen into this wonderful presentation, or you can come at a little before 7.
Thank you. At least we're not late. That's
all right. So the A4 financial coaching training is something that I did pretty soon into joining with Extension. And then from there, it has really been like a portion of my work, but which we'll talk about. We have more of a specific partnership set up between myself through the Extension office and then also the Sharing Center's clientele. But with the financial coaching process, it really focuses on those four A's that you see. So alliance, which is basically rapport building. Something that is hugely important with any type of coaching, but something as sensitive to people as finances, is to have a good working relationship. So a lot of times when I do financial education in group settings, when they're groups that aren't already formed, or you know, that don't already have a relationship with one another through another agency or organization, it can be tricky for people to want to sit together to talk about their finances. People find the topic really sensitive. It can be embarrassing. There can be some shame around kind of things that they've done, things that they haven't done. So with the coaching process, it's helpful because it does have that one-on-one opportunity to then be able to work through a lot of different facets in their life and connecting to their families and beyond. The agenda. So defining clients' short-term and long-term goals. If clients have really long-term goals, we usually try to rein it in a little bit more to figure out what are some short-term goals within that. So it's stuff that we can continue to incrementally work on, to have those little wins, to keep motivated, and to be able to help the individual see their progress. The awareness, so exploring motivation and challenges. Sometimes it's even talking about what people's values are, because that helps them see more kind of what monetary habits are linked to, and then just figuring out kind of how to be able to bring that all together so they're still living within kind of the values and the things that are important to them, but then also being able to improve on whatever they're coming for, because usually they're coming for a reason initially, even if we need to kind of flush out what those goals are going to look like. And then action, so increasing positive financial behaviors. This is an example. It's pretty little up here, but it's just a worksheet that sometimes I do with folks if they are struggling to identify a goal or goals or just kind of pockets of places where they would want to focus their energy, at least initially, when we're thinking about some of the short-term goals that we can start working on. So there's different buckets that are some of the typical things that people want to be able to enhance: debt, savings, credit, benefits, coverage, insurance, retirement, banking, budgeting, those types of things. Stephanie will be able to talk more about it too, but a lot of the folks that I'm working with through the Sharing Center, the short-term goals come pretty naturally just because a lot of times they're still looking at kind of meeting general needs on a consistent basis. So it's not as typical for discussions around like retirement or insurance, but it's not outside of the realm of possibility. And then it's just kind of figuring out how to articulate the goal, making sure that it's something that's doable in a shorter amount of time, at least to start making progress. You'll see at the bottom, just a financial goal to be able to set for the next 6 weeks and something you can do to make progress. And it kind of leads off with my goal is, fill in the blank, and then the I will. And that's an important piece because if it's more swaying toward, you know, I think I will, or I'm gonna try, we wanna just bring it in even more and make it smaller, make it more doable, something that they feel pretty confident that they would be able to make some progress on. Another piece of it is when a person is most coachable, which, you know, in an ideal world, we would be able to see all of these, but obviously in the real world, this isn't always hitting all these markers. But just to kind of frame it out, when a person is most coachable, they're ready to make changes, willing to learn and grow, feel self-responsible, committed to the process, open to different ideas, open to different ways of doing things, all of that. Responsive, in a relatively stable position, not in crisis, which is tricky, and you'll hear more about that, and able to devote energy and resources to the process. So now I will hand it off to Stephanie to talk more about the organization that she works with and kind of why this is important with the clientele that they're serving.
Okay, so thank you for having me. I'm Stephanie. I'm the pantry manager at the Sharing Center. So this year we're celebrating 40 years of service within the community. I came on board in August of 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. So my understanding of the way the center fed and clothed and provided services to the community was a little different because they had to go through a lot of changes due to all of the restrictions on people and buildings and things like that. One of the things that I did notice right away when I came on board was that there was a need for more financial understanding. In part of my past experiences, I was a marketing director for the AM Community Credit Unions in Kenosha and Racine, and one of my responsibilities was to go out to grade schools in the area, especially in the non-affluent areas, and teach financial responsibility and sixth, seventh, eighth graders. And at some points, I was actually talking about things just as general as savings accounts, and those students didn't even know what that was. They'd never even heard the word savings account. So when I got to the Sharing Center and I saw some of the need of the clients that we were serving, I realized that one of the things that was very important and crucial in creating self-sustainability is to create a financial plan and to have some understanding of how they're using their finances. I actually searched all over the country. I did a lot of research in the programs that I had used back in the 90s to educate younger students. I had reached out to several organizations, and lo and behold, to be honest, UW Extension System, their program was the best to meet the needs of our clients. After working through 6 months worth of talking to various organizations throughout North America, I realized here in our backyard is one of the best opportunities for people of low income to be provided with the tools that they need to be self-sustainable. There are a lot of pieces of the programs that Mary offers that makes a lot of sense for people in a crisis situation. And one of the things that's very important when talking finances is to making sure that we're on the level of understanding that these people are at. Everybody has different understandings of finances, and it's really important to be able to cater the discussion to the recipient, because if you're talking over their head, you're not giving them any usable advice. So with the opportunity to participate in the RentSmart program, which is a module of what Mary offers, and some of the other things for basic financial knowledge, it just made sense to pair our clientele with what the services that she offers. So to give you a small background of the Sharing Center, in case you guys aren't familiar with it, like I said, 40 years of service, and we are a full-service crisis center. It started as a small food pantry, but as the need in the community grew, we listened to those needs, we did a lot of surveying, and we realized that we needed to expand our services. Now we are in partnership with over 80 organizations, and we have about 10 strong core in-house services that we work through, one of them being domestic violence. We have our own in-house program. We have the employment, we have the financial coaching, and several others that are assisting everyone that has needs that walk through our door. So our goal is to allow people to have the education and tools to be self-sustainable. So when they come through our door, each situation is unique. And we cannot give a blanket band-aided approach to our service, because if we do that, we're lacking in giving people what they really need in order to be successful. So financial coaching is one of those things where it's very personalized. And we have seen, and I don't know how much you know about some of these programs, but we had a trifecta happen in January of 23, especially with programs ending. So the WERA, Wisconsin Emergency Rental Assistance Program, that was instituted during the COVID years, was a phenomenal program, allowing assistance for people who needed a little bit of help with their rent. That program was expected to be in place until 2025. It has ended as of December 31st of 22. Very shocking to us. We had no idea that it was going to end so soon. In addition to that, there were announcements of some cuts from other rental programs that we were able to offer our clients, and a reduction in food share nationally. So during the COVID years, you saw a large increase in the dollar amounts that people were receiving. It has now gone back to pre-COVID years in assistance. So families who for 3 years were receiving $190 a month are now receiving $11 a month. So it isn't a small change, it's a drastic change. It's a life-changing change for these individuals and these families. So one of the things that I've been shocked by is the amount of people that have come through our doors looking for rental assistance. We cover 200 square miles of geography, which is a very large area, everything west of the interstate. And in the last several months, we have added a housing position. We have somebody who specifically works in our organization just to counsel people with rental and housing needs in the county. Because these programs have been eliminated, we have had to be a little more strategic in how we can provide assistance. Financial coaching has now become critical in ensuring the success of the individuals who walk through our door. So now, because we don't have these programs to offer them with rental assistance, we have to look at their employment, we have to look at their credit score, we have to look at their legal history, we have to look at anything that might be an obstacle in them moving forward. Financial coaching is one of those things that can alleviate an obstacle and help people move forward, namely increasing credit scores. So people who are trying to rent apartments and houses, credit score is a very important part of that process. And there are many individuals who come to us that may have an eviction on their past, or their credit score is low because of financial difficulties. And Mary's program has allowed participants to increase that score, which increases their chances of being able to be housed. One of the other things that we see at the Sharing Center is when we distribute our food, and in reference to our food numbers, we kind of graduate. So a family of one to two isn't going to receive the same amount of food as a family of five or more. What we've seen is the family size has grown. And so what that's telling us is there's a lot more doubling up. There's a lot more couch surfing. There's a lot more people who are no longer individually living in homes, but they are living with friends or family or even acquaintances. And that's telling us that the need for financial coaching is even more important, because we need to have these people understanding the way that they can use their income to best suit their needs in order to keep moving forward. So I'm thankful for the program, and I noticed that in the last several months we've had a lot more individuals that we've referred. We've referred over 80 clients specifically and directly. However, we market this program quite often. In the 2021 annual report that I provided, there's a small caption in one of the pages that talks about the financial program and how important it is to the people that we serve. And moving forward, I would say it's even become more crucial to offer to our clients. And not everybody takes advantage of it, but we want to make sure that they have the opportunity to. So we've invited Mary to come out to the center. She'll have tables a couple times a month so she can talk to people face to face. And talking about money is not an easy thing to do. So we, and Mary brought a sample, we try to figure out a way to entice people to talk.
So
what we did was when we created this flyer that we've done, you know, multiple marketing, social media, electronic newsletter and such, we have put out a bunch of cleaning supplies with this small label on it. You know, how can we help you clean up your finances? So if someone comes in the door and they see Mary sitting with a bunch of cleaning supplies, they, oh, what's this? How do we get this laundry soap? How do we get this Dawn? What do we do? Mary says, well, it's yours. This is for you. You know, just let you know I'm here to offer this service for you. So we kind of did a really fun play on words, but it helped to kind of break down the barrier of talking about money. So it put everybody on level playing ground and kind of eased people into talking to her, because having somebody sit behind a table at a place that you're already nervous about walking into or you don't want to be there, you're not going to willingly go up and talk to people and kind of tell them, oh yeah, not only am I here for food, but I'm also having this issue. So this actually was a way to kind of make that happen for us. But there are some statistics in there, just so you can see on the slides. We have some of the things that we worked with over 3,300 individuals last year, of all ages, races, and backgrounds. And we that number was down very slightly from 2019, but it is about 300 more, I believe, or 200 more than it was in 21. We do see that 23 is drastically climbing. We've had record-breaking visitor months, which means there's a lot of people out there that need help. So we definitely anticipate these numbers to climb quite high. And just some general things so that you can see kind of a picture of how we're serving the community. 359 area students with school supplies and clothing items. We definitely see that climbing as well. We assisted 198 individuals with housing and rent needs. That particular number, that is through the entire year of 2022. In 23, at this time, we calculated for 4 months. 4 months, we had talked to 121 unique, unduplicated families. So that means we are actually probably going to quadruple the number of people that we're talking to about housing needs in 2023 in comparison to a year ago. So those numbers are very staggering. We've referred, like I said, over 80 individuals for financial coaching and literacy assistance to Mary. So we've kept her busy. And we've distributed over 3,000 pounds just of pet food. People don't think about it, but pets are part of the family, and a lot of people who come to us, they need food for their pets as well. And then 548 local children with Christmas gifts. So 340 for Easter baskets, and then 1,858 holiday meals, which is basically Thanksgiving and Christmas time. So you can kind of see those numbers are pretty big for being out here in the county. They're definitely going to increase as time goes on in 23. However, we have a lot of success stories that I'm very proud of, and Mary has been a part of those success stories. Confidentiality is a very big part of what we do. But I can say that we have seen individuals who have lived in their vehicles in the county go from living in their vehicles with no employment and no hope to now having jobs, having apartments, their kids are back in school, and they're thriving, and they're not even using our services anymore. And we've had many of those success stories come through the doors, and we're trying to document and track as many of those as we can. Every one of those success stories included a piece of the financial coaching in the picture, every single one of them. So that tells me that there's definitely a need. And if it was me going back in time, I would go back to all the grade schools and I would start teaching her program in kindergarten. And I wish we did, because there's not enough financial knowledge out there in general. And that's definitely a lack. And if we had more financial knowledge, I think that it would reduce the number of people that we're seeing come through our door, because money is the reason why they come to us for the most part. We do have other reasons, you know, legally and domestic violence, but the bulk of the people, the reason why they're coming to us is because there's a money issue in the household. So.
And I think these numbers also reflect that the Sharing Center really is a hub for people out here. They are comfortable. I mean, not always. I know sometimes there's nervousness, but usually once they've been, they're comfortable. They get to know the volunteers and the staff there. I mean, I've been there where people have been just catching them up on how kids are doing and other things and just kind of that general conversation. And even talking and meeting with people who have preferred for us to meet back at the Sharing Center as opposed to them coming here or meeting at a library or, you know, so it really is a significant community space for the western part of the county.
There's some information, I believe, over here too. Yes, numbers are increasing. That's definite. Like I said, record numbers of visitors looking for services, and a lot of that is in housing. And again, due to the reduction in available funding, that's where financial coaching, employment services, and any other programs that people can take advantage of become crucial in making sure that they stay housed. So, yeah.
Is it primarily the reduction in funding, or is it reduction in inventory of available?
It's both. Definitely, the lack of affordable housing in Kenosha County is absolutely a big obstacle that we face. And so when we get people to a point where they're making a good living, and that's why credit scores, again, become so important, to have the best possible credit score they can, because once they get to a point where they can afford the housing that's there, it's very competitive.
Yeah, it's on my mind because I'll be honest, I had a conversation with my mother earlier today. They're building new units. She's in Manitowoc.
Yeah.
That are supposed to be for elderly people to move into. There's a small footprint, new homes. They have a price point started at $185,000. It's like, well, that's a $2,000 mortgage with insurance, so you're not moving into that.
Right. Yeah, and one of the misconceptions about the Sharing Center itself is that the majority of people are unemployed, and that is not the case. I would say most of the people that are coming to us are actually employed. So. I'm sorry?
Underemployed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that we've really geared up, at the same time that we've implemented the financial coaching, we've implemented employment services. And if you go to our website, we have a variety of different resources. We've printed out, we call it a cheat sheet of employment opportunities, and we work with companies in the area. And when we find out about their employment opportunities, I have a direct line to HR directors who I'm calling and saying, I have an individual who needs a job. And so we've had a lot of really supportive companies and businesses, small businesses, large corporations that have helped us out with that.
Do you have a relationship with the job center here in Kenosha or anything mm-hmm. as well?
Absolutely. All the time. We send people, yes. And being out in the county too, it's nice to have resources that are closer, because what people don't think about too is that it's gas money for people. They have to make a choice to, if they spend a few dollars on gas, that might be a few dollars that they're not eating food, or they can't pay for something for their children. So it's nice to have us out here and be able to sit down with people and give them the resources that they need.
Yeah, I'm a retired teacher.
Yeah.
And one of the courses that I taught for a while was an economics course, and there was a consumer ed requirement linked to that particular course, and I had my kids do a budget project, which was probably one of the most eye-opening experiences for them, because they had no idea how much it cost to live.
Right.
And so, you know, I would have them go through all possible expenses, from rent to, you know, car payment to, you know, insurance, you know, car insurance, health insurance, you know, et cetera. And by the time they got done and realized it, it was so eye-opening.
Yeah.
They were saying, how do people live? Good question. You know, you know, it's not easy to live comfortably anymore.
Right.
You know, unless you have two people making two really good jobs, you know, have two really good jobs.
Right.
But if you're, you know, in a low-end job, and it's tough, you know, to make ends meet. And it was interesting, because I had students who come back and say that apart from the other stuff you taught, the theoretical stuff, this was the most practical and important, because they didn't realize, they had no idea how difficult it is to get by today.
We need more. My daughter's a junior in high school at Wilmot right now, and she's taking a few courses now. But I don't know that the building blocks were necessarily there when she was 7, 8, 9 years old. And I believe it should start there because it's so important in your entire life. Those financial responsibility skills are the ones that you're going to use the most. And they're just not there. They're not adequate enough, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, but one of the things too about Mary's program is they have a Rent Smart, and that is very important because it teaches the tools of how to be a good renter. So one of the issues with affordable housing is if you have a landlord or property manager that has a choice between renting to someone who may be a little bit lower income to somebody who is a higher income, you know, there's a lot of myths and bad things, and one bad apple spoils the bunch type of thing. So this Rent Smart program teaches people how to be a good renter, what things you need to do. If something breaks in your apartment, how do you react to that? What steps do you take to mend that situation? If you're going to be late on your rent, how do you talk and negotiate to a landlord? One of the biggest issues is if people are already financially strained and they're late on their rent, they get penalties placed on that rent amount when they're not paying it on time. So not only are you now, let's say, owing $1,000, in 2 months you're owing $1,300 because you're not paying on time, so you're getting these, you know,
late charges basically.
Exactly. And so that puts people back even farther. So the Rent Smart program is fantastic because it gives opportunity for people to learn how to navigate around that and how to avoid those things from happening. And it also places, you know, I like the way that people can learn how to place importance on the way that they're paying their bills. For some it may be common sense, but for others it isn't. And you may have an individual who takes out a payday loan to pay their rent for the month. Okay, that payday loan may have 30-40% interest on top of the money they're borrowing. And so that, again, it brings you back. And that's the stuff that we're trying to teach people. So at the Sharing Center, the biggest thing for us is to make sure that we give tools and education. And not just handing things to people, we're making people accountable and helping them to make decisions and helping them to understand how to make those decisions for themselves. And through this program, that's one of the ways that we can educate people on how to make these decisions for themselves. And it's all about free choice and dignity. So even down to the way that we distribute our food, you'll never see a pre-packed box unless it's a specific program just handed to an individual. When they come in, and I don't know how many of you have visited the center, but they get a menu that is made every day that we serve, and they can check mark those items just as if they were going to the grocery store. And there's a lot of psychological good things about that is they have control over the choice. We're not controlling their food. We're not controlling their choice of the food that they're receiving. We're giving them choice to do that on their own. And that's with all the services that we're offering. We're not demanding that people participate in this program, but we're laying out the reasons why they should choose to do it if they want to.
Yeah, that's an important piece for me and for Stephanie, is just for it to still be voluntary, for it to be available. You know, if we lose touch and you want to reach back out, that's great. But I haven't wanted to do this in like a mandated way. So the last thing before we take any other additional questions is I just wanted to draw attention to the little flyer. So this was something I should have had, like the original version that I had, but when Stephanie and I were first figuring out how to collaborate with this, she was really instrumental in saying, like, this is too wordy, this is just gonna go over everyone's head or they're not gonna bother. So it took a lot of fine tuning to make it a little bit more plain language, a little bit more approachable. And then also the, you know, with the cleaning supplies, let us help you clean up your finances. That's something that she came up with, but we ran with it and I think that it's worked well. So, all right, that's all we have. So if there are any other additional questions that folks have been holding, we are happy to.
I was thinking, I think what you guys are doing is great, so important. you know, when you think of people today who are struggling, there's so many reasons for it, some of them you touched on, but, you know, a couple that come to mind is, you know, even people who are making a decent living, if you have absolutely no money in the bank for emergencies.
Oh, yeah. You're one crisis away.
You're one crisis away from poverty.
Yeah.
We see that a lot with medical issues. So we have people who have gone along, they may be in their 50s, 60s, and they've lived a wonderful life with their families, and they have homes and mortgages and car payments. And then a medical catastrophe happens in their family. And you may have, you know, two people in the home, and the spouse is injured, to the other spouse has to become their primary caretaker. So not only do you lose one full income, but you lose two. And, you know, then they have the daunting possibility of getting disability, but it takes a while. A lot of times you get denied on the first and second time that you apply for it. So you have to now pay a mortgage that you've been paying on for 15 years, pay car payments and school fees and everything, and you're making half the amount of money. So even if you do have things saved, you know, within 6 or 7 months' time, that savings can be depleted, and you're still in that situation where you have to move forward and you still have all of these things that you have to pay for. And we see that a lot. And I have people with the employment program. What surprised me is I've had people walk through the door with associate's, bachelor's, and master's degrees looking for help getting employment. So it can affect everyone. And everyone that walks through our door, it doesn't mean that they're in a dire, dire situation, but they know that they can come for help. So whether it be domestic violence, or, you know, you have somebody who might be a homemaker, and a situation happens where they're able to free from that situation, they have to start over, and they now have to provide an income for themselves and their children, and they haven't been in the workforce for 20 years because they've been raising their family. So they come to us, and we help them to rebuild and start over and give them the ways that they can make that happen for themselves.
I like those observations because I don't think they think that way. Yeah. We've learned to think that way at home, but it's not a normal thing.
Right.
Life impacts at different times for different reasons. I don't work anymore. My wife does. Because insurance is a killer.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Medical is a big situation.
For us, insurance would be $25,000 a year. That's just way out of scope for someone that's changed their lifestyle. Loss of a spouse. I know a friend just lost a spouse. That's a major lifestyle change. So, like you said, haven't worked because they've been building a family or building a business or whatever it is, and all of a sudden that changed. So I didn't think about it from that perspective, but it's a very good insight.
Children who become ill, who have something, you know, whatever it be, a very serious injury or a life-changing event, and parents now have to adjust their life and become a caretaker for that child, and they know they're having that responsibility for the rest of their lives, and they can't work full-time. So
I call those inflection points in life, where a substantive change all of a sudden occurs and your life changes, and it's just what you deal with now.
And then you have seniors who are living on a fixed income, and with the inflated prices in food, you had mentioned the rentals. One of the things that we've seen over the last 2.5 years is the rise in rental pricing. And one of the things that's really important is when someone gets into a lease, it's important for them to sign a year lease versus a month to month. Because what we do see are people who have been living with month-to-month leases, they've been used to paying a certain amount with a very small increase, and then all of a sudden the building gets sold or something happens, and the next month they know they have to come up with an additional $300. And we've seen it from $200 to $500 increases from 1 month to the next. And then you have somebody who has stayed in the same residence for 10 years and now they can't afford a $300 increase, so they have to find a new place to live, but there's no place to go.
It's easier to evict month to month too.
So yeah, it is.
We have three on the way right now.
So there's all kinds of things, and that's part of our process in educating people and how to be good renters or how to be good homeowners. And
not to mention consumer debt.
Yes.
Throw that in there too.
Yes.
The evil of credit cards. Credit card debt.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, the payday loans and the yeah. quick loans and the quick fixes to your finances end up burying you. And yeah. we want to let people know that there's got to be a better way. Let's find the better way. So I encourage people to utilize the food pantry services because that's what we're here for. And if they are qualified for food share and food pantry, then they won't be spending as much extra dollars on their food budget each month, which should free up some. If they can qualify for utility assistance through We Energies, we always encourage them to do that as well. Of course, looking for new employment, if they want to get education or certification or change jobs, there's opportunities through the job center and different programs. The SIR program for 55 and older, we do a lot with that. UMOS has a wonderful program for, they have a $2,500 bonus that they offer for employment. So there's all kinds of organizations that we're connected with. And that's another thing that's extremely important, not only working with UW Extension, but also working with every other organization throughout Kenosha County. We have to work in conjunction together because if we don't, we're doing a disservice to the people that we're serving. So I'm educating myself every day. I learn things every day about new services that we have. So,
I mean, I feel like as a youth, I think finances and savings accounts are really under-talked about in school. Like, I'm not going to really learn about it until next year when I have to take a finance class. But that's all, like, they really talk about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm really blank right now on how to do that. And I'm gonna be out in the real world in 2 years, and I feel like I need to like start, and I wish schools would.
Well, make you feel better. A lot of adults running around who know nothing about finances too.
Yeah.
And that's true. I was amazed.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I was amazed by UW Extension because, like I said, I literally did do 6 months worth of research around the country on programs. And one of the issues with a lot of the programs is the starting points of conversation are way over and beyond what the comprehension level is of the people that we're serving. And that includes myself. I mean, everybody is at a different level of comprehension with finances. A lot of those programs don't get down to the basics, and they don't start from the start. And so when you're sitting there listening to this information, it's not doing anything for you, because if you're in a crisis situation and you can't put gas in your car, there's no need for you to listen to a retirement program because you can't even think past today. You're trying to survive the next 12 hours. You're not even looking at the next 10 years. And this program is geared toward assisting people and meeting them at the level that they are at. And that was very important to me when we decided to partner.
So.
So it sounds like a good partnership and a good program, which is good. What is like the next steps forward? Or like, what do you envision for as it grows to handle the need and the demand?
That's a good question. So there, I definitely have noticed more referrals being sent my way. So beyond the sharing center, I offer it to anyone in the community, but I'm not really heavily promoting it just because, as I had said at the beginning, this is a portion of like a portion of a portion of my role, since kind of like half of what I do is around financial capability, and then this is a section within that. So within the sharing center partnership, it has remained manageable. You know, I get emailed over referrals, phone, email for the individual. Typically, I attempt 2 contacts. Then if we're engaged, it just kind of goes in whatever direction it is. But like Stephanie said, not everyone engages. And sometimes if it is a situation that is like an extreme crisis, I'll usually try to help to see if there are other resources that I could hand off. But then also explaining that coaching isn't always geared toward people that are like in full crisis.
So, you know, with the 80 referrals from the Sharing Center, do you get referrals or any other outside contacts? I mean, the Sharing Center is obviously out in the county, you know.
Yeah, so.
But do you deal with Racine County as well?
No. In years past, I had not as much of a concentrated, but a similar type of partnership with Prevention Services Network, which works out of the Job Center. I would definitely say that that has lessened over the years just due to, you know, lots of availability of resources and services, and I think sometimes things rise to the top and that type of thing. I've gotten other referrals from random other places. I never tell anyone no. Anyone that is in Kenosha County, I will work with them. But I'm not out heavily promoting this in a general sense.
Because you can get overwhelmed pretty
yes,
quick.
Yeah, this could be...
By probably, you know, again, it's like if you feed a horse to water, you can't make them drink.
Right.
So you know that when they're coming from the sharing center, they're normally, I want to say, pre-qualified.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
In a position where they're ready to coach.
Yeah, I know that someone has had a conversation with them about, here's what this is, here's why I think it would be beneficial, do you want me to pass along your information?
Right.
So that, yeah, that piece is important too.
Right, because otherwise one person can get overwhelmed pretty quick by the number of emails.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who say, oh yes, yes, I want to talk to her, and then they don't follow through. And again, it's their responsibility to do that. So we can give them the tools, but they have to be willing to use those tools.
Yeah.
And when you get overwhelmed, the effectiveness of the program diminishes then, even though you might have more contacts,
right.
You're just not effective. And you'd
yeah.
rather be effective and try to help people that you do have the success stories for.
Yeah, and if it were really kind of like so popular to the point where that would be conversations that I would have with Pam mm-hmm. and other people with an extension to try to angle other ways to make sure that no one was dropped. Mm-hmm. And if it was even building out the program, then, you know, that would be a road to go down at that point.
So right now, okay?
Right now, things are great. I mean, my biggest concentration with financial coaching is the sharing center at this point in time. I don't see myself looking for other, like, significant partnering agencies right now.
But there seems to be quite the need, is what I'm hearing.
Yes,
well.
Yeah.
So, and potentially increasing, and because of all the financial factors that are going on.
Definitely.
The inflation, the pressure for the housing market, coming from Illinois, buying, houses for silly prices, and,
And as Stephanie said, too, they still encourage us to utilize kind of those group classes that we also offer, but sometimes people want more of, like, a specific conversation about kind of what's going on.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, it works well in that way. But, well, thank you, everyone.
Yes, if anybody knows of any affordable housing, please consider my way. Any apartments for rent? We've been working with all the real estate agents, all the property managers that we can. Just having conversations, letting them know that we have people who are looking. So, yes, that has been an obstacle that we are definitely trying to overcome.
Thank you. Mary, would you be able to email the
Absolutely.
Committee, including the youth and governance, this?
Yes.
Thank you. Either you or April.
I was going to say, I'll probably send it to April because I don't think I have the two gig contacts.
And I think you sent it out to us last month. Was it Pam or did you?
I know there was one time I did. Yep,
yeah.
I absolutely did.
But yeah, I'll give that to April and Pam.
Thanks. I'm sure we're down to 10 minutes because I was too mousy.
I see that. So we do have a couple of other, I do want to, Supervisor Gashke did say, hey, we should probably just do a quick introduction as well. I should have done that first, but you want to cover some other things?
Sure. We'll start with Carolyn since she's here. How about talking 4-H?
Yes, I will talk quickly. The theme of this week or this month is Camp, Camp, Camp. So day camp starts next Tuesday, and then a week from Friday, we're going overnight to base camp. So we've been doing counselor trainings and Zoom sessions and things. And we've been doing Cloverbud nights for the kids. We've had between 30 and 45 kids come to those. That's working with our teenage ambassadors. They're planning and facilitating, which has been great. But it's the highlights of my month.
Yeah.
All right.
And all working up. I know that you're not just about the fair, but the fair is
I'm getting sucked into being the fair, but yes, I am not the fair. But yeah, our clubs are kind of winding down. It's only a couple of them meet in July, but every club this month is collecting fair forms.
And I'll give some reports for the educators who couldn't be here today. I will start with Erica. So she's the Positive Youth Development Educator, and both of our representatives perhaps remember her from interviews and conducting the orientation last month. So for, we'll start with Youth as Resources. They had their recognition ceremony, and their officer elections took place on May 16th, and there are four new board members, youth board members. So that's exciting. Their first meeting will be on September 19th, and that's also then when the grant year officially starts. So that, so they're kind of on their summer break, we will call it. As far as youth and governance, as you all know, we had our recognition ceremony, and that went well. We have 16 new youth board representatives and two alternates. The youth and governance representatives volunteered at the Pringle Nature Center on May 27th. The bus tour is coming up on June 28th. Of all the governmental departments, you are invited to join us. It goes until from 8 a.m. till 5:30. Mentor.
Leaving from here.
Yes, at 8 a.m. A mentor-mentee orientation is being scheduled, and it looks like as of this morning it will be on June 27th, so the day before the Youth and Governance bus tour. NEA fall programming is being planned. And then probably the biggest announcement I have is that Erica received a Fulbright scholarship, so quite a wonderful opportunity and honor. So her last day with us is July 7th, because at the end of July she will be heading to Columbia. She will be teaching English there, as well as doing some research on multiculturalism in Latin dance.
Wow.
So yeah, so quite the accomplishment.
There goes your salsa
lessons. Right? And, yeah,
until me. University of New York?
No, is in Columbia, South America.
Columbia.
Yeah, she is leaving the country and going to be in Columbia until May 31st of 2024.
That would be an experience.
How long is it for a year?
10 months.
Oh, 10 months.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, you said the meeting was June 27th.
Is my understanding that that's when the orientation will be mentor-mentee.
What time? Did Erica?
She did not share the time with me. Oh, you have it.
Okay. Yeah. I had called her about that.
Okay.
I assume she will probably contact all us. Mentors, I hope. Because I haven't got a
So you received the email as youth and governance representatives?
Yes,
or no?
We filled out with what time.
Oh, you did the doodle, but she hasn't done the update.
She hasn't updated the doodle
to let everyone know that the exact date. But apparently it is, because it was between the 27th and the 29th.
Okay. Yeah. This morning it was leaning towards the 27th.
Okay.
So hopefully you'll be receiving some contact about that. She is in Spain, though, on a plane right now as we speak, so hopefully she'll be sending it. So we'll see. Yeah, but at least put a hold on your calendars for that. All right, BJ, if you were to walk along by the memory garden there, we have 15 demonstration raised beds that are all planted, 40 trees are planted, and 12 small fruit gardens are planted as well, or planters, I should mention. He's also taught Mercy Housing residents on growing backyard vegetables and offered assistance in planting vegetable crops. BJ's been working in partnership with the Wisconsin Arborist Association and the horticultural team with Extension to co-host an urban forestry webinar, and that will be happening in June, later this month. And he also worked with 12 inmates at the Wisconsin Correctional Institute on planning and planting backyard gardens on a weekly basis. And of course, he continues to work with Master Gardeners, answering questions that come in from the community regarding plant issues that they are having. Atif has shared, so food-wise, that the team is starting their summer programming and they are excited to be underway with that. SNAP-Ed and FNET teams are providing programming at the YMCA Lincoln Park as well as EPSOLA. And at the Shalom Center as well. So during summer programming, they will focus on providing additional resources to families that encourage them to stay active, purchase affordable foods, and empower families to utilize the local food markets and increase their fruits and vegetables with their meals. And the hope is that they'll utilize their SNAP-Ed benefits to purchase items at our local farmers market. So that's that. Those are those educator updates. As far as mine goes, I am passing around the 2022 annual report. It is here and in color, so You get it first before it will be then, of course, disseminated to all supervisors as well as leadership within the county. So that I have for you. All committee chairs did receive an email from me that I had forwarded an email from our dean, Dean Carl Martin, regarding the strategic plan and the survey and the themes that were identified through the survey and giving you an opportunity to provide insight if you want to. And so knowing that it's still that the process and that the actual strategic plan, like the actual steps haven't started, that piece of it. July 10th, our new community development educator will be starting. I received a verbal offer on June 2nd, so very new. Now the background checks are being conducted, and then I will be going on vacation, so I didn't want her to start until I would be back. So July 10th is her starting date. I will be posting for the positive youth development educator position to fill Erica's position, since, as I mentioned, she will no longer be with us.
That's her last day?
Her last day is July 7th.
Okay.
And the ag positions, we are moving forward with interviews. We're having preliminary interviews on August. Try that again. Don't know why I'm 2 months ahead. June 23rd, and then final interviews will be June 30th. So happy. We extended that posting because we only had 3 applicants. We now had 8 and thought 5 are worth inviting in for an interview. So that extension of the posting really worked in our favor. So we were happy about that. I've started budget meetings, and so going through my first round of budgets with Kenosha County, I did attend the listening session, and then now just this week, I met with Chris Walton, and we've started that process as well. And then I meet with the county exec in August. And then, I'm excited. I'm heading to the Newell Conference tomorrow morning in Madison, and that's an excellent opportunity where extensions that are present in urban communities, such as ours, it's specifically for urban education versus rural. So, and as we know, in Kenosha, we have both. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'll be there Thursday and Friday. And that is it, besides that report.
Yes.
Quick update for you.
Yes.
2 committee chairs changed.
Oh, they did. So hopefully I had the latest.
Yeah, I am now chair of Judiciary and Law. And Supervisor Stock is the chair of Health Services. So
okay.
Neither of us would have me.
And Stock. Okay.
S-T-O-C-K.
Yep. And which was that committee? I'm sorry. Health. All right. And I'll double check. If you didn't get it, then you're right. I really had that. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then in the past, you sent us a position description for educators that you're interviewing
mm-hmm.
for. Would you be able to do that when you have the the Positive Youth one updated?
Absolutely.
Thank
I'd
you.
Be happy to.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I can share.
Carolyn, are we on par with last year for 4-H?
We're very far ahead. Yeah, our enrollment is, well, even just since I started in October, we're up 160 kids since then. And yeah, well over, I think the last year was like 309 kids, and now we're up to, I think, around 560.
So very good.
Well, good job.
Oh, I'm not saying it's me, but.
That helps, but there's good organization.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People get behind.
Celebrate the positives.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm very happy with it.
And thanks, Pam, for the updates as well. Thanks, Mary, for the program on the financial coaching. Sounds like it's doing well and it's needed. So, but that takes us to just a couple minutes after 7. So we got to get rolling into our. Just seven. We're rolling into the public hearing now. So thank you, everybody. John,
do you want me to still stop it or should I just keep going?
Okay.
Yeah, you can keep running.
Take care.
Oh, there you go.
And And Pam, if you could, I'll give you a call at some point to just go over a couple of those details that, you kind of rushed through at the end here. So that way I can give a report.
Okay. Hopefully you got the email I sent. I just sent it in the last couple of days. So then I get it. Sometimes you don't get to your email every day, especially supervisors. I totally understand that. So that should be there, and I'm pretty sure you're on my list as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and if not, just let me know, and I'll double check my list so that everyone.
I don't think I got anything.
Oh, you don't?
Unless it got kicked into like an other folder.
Oh, okay.
Reading everything after a record.
Okay.
Are you sure?
And pretty easy.
Thanks.
I leave the rubber bands for you then too.
You can come in.
Yep, you need to come in. Hi, how are you doing? Yeah, you guys can sit at the table because you'll be up first.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You promise no inquisitions to me. Up or over.
Thank you.
Come on in, chairs.
Say, need a couple of chairs here.
Yep, we're gonna need them.
There's always a seat up here between us supervisors. You know?
Firing, are you?
That way you get our perspective on things.
You got to be careful. You sit there, you're stuck.
All right. Well, looks like we got a.
Are you ready to record April?
Full house here.
Yeah, it's gone.
Okay.
So, okay. This is the 7 p.m. public hearing for the Land Use Committee. So I'm going to call the meeting to order. We do have some members, three members of the committee here. So myself, Aaron Kerr was the chair. We have Daniel Gashke as the vice chair, Brian Bashaw. And then we have the youth and governance members. Olivia, I can say that name, but...
Aksa.
All right, there we go. So they're the youth and governance. There's two youth and governance on every standing committee at the county board. So it's a good, very good program. Let's see. We did have a working session yesterday at 11 o'clock. Supervisor Bashaw, Gashke, and I were on it. We got updated by Andy on the items on the agenda tonight. But it is a public hearing tonight, so we just ask that any questions, comments, that we do it in a formal manner. We normally do it in the other room in the open forum over there, so it's a little easier to stay organized. But, you know, all the questions, do you have a spot or just, we probably won't have too many. So just raise your hand. I'll call you up, or Andy will, at a certain time. You don't have to come up or anything. Just stay where you're at, and then we'll just talk through the issues, right? Mm-hmm. Would you recommend that?
Sure, that'll work.
Okay. All right. Any other items to discuss about kind of how we're doing things?
Or? No.
Okay. I got a list here, so I got to... What's the next on the list? Okay. Ask about the legal posting in the newspaper. So you got it already pulled up here? So.
We do. So we had it posted in the Kenosha News as a Class 2 notice, which is required by law. And it was posted on May 23rd and May 30th.
One other thing, when we get to your when we get to your item on the agenda, and if we need you to speak on that agenda item, we ask that you state your name and address for the record. So April's recording this, and then she goes back and does the minutes, and then we need the name and address for that recording. And you'll have to say it somewhat louder than normal because she just has a little recorder right in front of her there and not a microphone at the station. Same thing for you board members. So, when you come up, we're going to ask you to state why you're here, what's going on, but Andy's going to do a really good job of explaining what's going on for each one of them, so don't think the burden is on you, because he's gonna do a good job explaining it. So, and then the committee members will ask the questions. We ask you that you direct all your comments, questions, whatever, at the committee members. And then because it's a public hearing, I'm going to ask if there's anybody here for or against the petition a couple of times before we vote on it. So, and then the committee members will talk again a little bit, and then we'll go ahead and vote on it. So just a little bit of an explanation for how we'll do the public hearing here. So do we want to go ahead and just get started on the agenda tonight? We're starting with item number 5, Lauren Myers, property rezoning in town of Paris.
Right, yes. So number 5, we'll read it into the record, is Lauren Myers Sr. and Marvin Myers, 12610 7th Street, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182. Owner, Janet Gum, 12430 7th Street, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182. Agent, requesting a rezoning from A1 Agricultural Preservation District and C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District to A1 Agricultural Preservation District, R1 Rural Residential District, C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District, and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and hash parcel number 454221013031. So with that, let me pull up the map. So here is the map here, which is showing the different rezone areas with this little bit of C1 and some R1, with the remaining A1 to the north and C2 to the south. My understanding is the 10 acres that is here is being, the boundary is being adjusted, and then the remainder is being attached. And so with a 5-acre parcel, it does require the R1 zoning, but we do have the petitioners that can explain why they're going through this. And so if you can, again, state your name and address and just kind of give a brief run through why you're going through this on this particular property here.
Sure. So my name is Jeff Gum, G-U-M-M. My address is 12430 7th Street. So the reason that we're doing this is that it's our intent to sell the wooded parcel in front of 5 acres for someone hopefully to be able to build a home in there. And the reason we're splitting it off of the primary, I think it was 9.37 acres, is that we wanted to retain as much farmland as we can. So that 4.37 acres will revert back over to the primary Myers farm to the east. So that's the main reason we're doing it. As we went into this, we found that there was some errors made in the past with some land transactions that are getting corrected by this as well. So Ben Feeblecorn was tremendously helpful in walking us through this and helping us understand some of the things that needed to be done. We did have a soil test performed successfully. We also had wetlands delineation that had to be done, because evidently the county wetlands map was incorrect. So we were asked to get that corrected as well, and that was also done successfully.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any questions of the committee members here?
If I may.
Supervisor Bishop.
You said the south portion along County A, 7th Street, is planned for a residential development?
Correct.
Single family, one of you, or
selling no. It? We'll be looking to sell it.
Sell the property.
Okay. Yes.
I was just curious because I know the Paris zoning ordinances create restrictions on timing, size, things like that, so.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so this is, you know, again, this is a rezone because the lot line adjustment, or is that?
Yeah, so it's from the 9-point-something acres shrinking down to the 5 acres.
Correct.
With the remnant going to the farm, which is where the 9-point-something acre parcel was created from. But that, when it was created without going through the rezoning process at that time. So that's where the mention of getting some things corrected, this is taking care of that.
Okay, so the lot lines are essentially where they need to be, and this is just rezoning it?
The lot lines will be changed once this rezoning goes through. Because okay. the lot already exists, so it's just shrinking in size. They're and not that, creating any new lot.
And none of that needs to come through us, that, correct. That's just a certified survey map adjustment.
It's just an adjustment, right.
Right, so that's why we're just looking at the rezoning of it tonight.
Correct.
So.
Correct.
The prior was 977, it's split into two with some corrections.
Right, yeah, okay. Just want to be clear. Any other questions of the board? Okay, so then I'm going to go ahead and ask if there's anybody here from the public that wants to speak for the petition. Anybody from here from the public that wants to speak for the petition? So this is anybody else besides the petitioners here. So, okay, and now I got to ask if there's anybody here to speak against the petition. Is there anybody here to speak against it? Seeing none, Andy? The town, how did they vote on this one?
And here we have it. The town board met on it on May 23rd, and a motion was made to approve, and it passed unanimously.
Okay, sounds good. So, and I'll ask if there's any other questions of the committee members. Not seeing any. Looks like we're going to go ahead and take a vote, and we're going to start with the youth and governance first. So, this is your.
We need a motion first.
Oh, yes.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion.
Motion by Supervisor Bashaw, second by Supervisor Gashke to approve the rezoning for the Myers property. And so then with youth and governance, it'll be a voice vote. So it'll be, if you're in favor, you say aye. If you're opposed, you say nay. So I'm gonna ask you to say if you're in favor first, and then I'll ask if you're opposed to it second. So. So of youth and governance, all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Board members, all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, the motion carries unanimously on the rezoning.
Congratulations, thank you.
So thank you. That's the first, that's item 5 anyway, so now we go item 6. You're still on deck here.
So item 6 is Janet L. Gum and Donna Kirschbaum, 12430 7th Street, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182, owner, requesting a rezoning from A1 Agricultural Preservation District to A1 Agricultural Preservation District, R1 Rural Residential District, R2 Suburban Residential District, C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District on tax parcel number 454-221-0140-320. And on this particular item, we're going to request the committee to table it. And I'll go into it here with the map as that is being worked on, and the petitioners can maybe fill us in exactly what's been happening over the last week. But this item did go through the town, but in this process, it became evident that this little strip of land down here north of County Trunk Highway A is actually owned by the property on the south side of the road, so there is not actual frontage. And so that frontage is critical in being able to create the frontage for this parcel that exists here. It doesn't affect this over here, but it does affect this blue area over here. So so we're requesting for it to be tabled until that can get resolved. And if anyone has some input on to maybe where that's at or where it's going, we'd be looking to table it until the next meeting in July, which would be July 12th.
Sure. Again, this is Jeff. Yeah, we're fully aware of that. Again, we've been working very closely with Ben Fiebelkorn on this. I am working directly with the landowner to the south, as you've mentioned. and we're working on him selling those two small slivers of land to us. And that's moving forward successfully.
Okay.
We're anticipating getting everything done and recorded in time to come back on the July meeting of the council.
Okay, very good. So with that in the case, we look for it to be tabled at this time.
Make a motion to table until the next subsequent meeting.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to table by Supervisor Vishaw, second by Supervisor Gashke. And for the youth and governance members, tabling means that it gets put up onto the side and we're able to bring it back at a later point in time when they're ready. So for voting on this one, you're voting to table it. And so all those in favor of tabling, youth and governance first.
Aye.
Aye. Board members in favor of tabling?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Anybody opposed? No. Everybody's in favor, so the item is tabled.
It's right. Tabled.
Correct.
Well, it's tabled until we pull it back up, essentially.
All right. Thank you all for those two items. Appreciate your time here today.
Thank you all.
We'll look to see you
as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you at the dairy breakfast.
You.
I'll be in line. If I'm the guy handing out syrup, just remember, it is non-dairy.
It's at Daniel's Farm. We'll see
you there. They're getting ready.
Know them well.
Thank them for having it because there ain't many dairy
farmers
old. No, they know it. Jake and Bell takes care of the place.
Chip.
Bell Farms are
okay.
It'll be fun. And I do ask people, do you want the dairy or the non-dairy?
Yeah, you must are going by, right?
Yeah.
Cutting the grass.
I have
the
dairy.
It's interesting. Have a good night. Thank you.
Thinking the milk.
All right, so we can move on to item number 7, which is William and Rachel Taft, 3911 288th Avenue, Salem, Wisconsin, 53168 owner, requesting a rezoning from A2 General Agricultural District to A2 General Agricultural District in R1 Rural Residential District on tax parcel number 304-220-294-0401, located in the town of Brighton. And with that, we'll have the petitioner come to the table, and then we'll bring this map up to show what's happening. And so basically what we have here is back in, I believe, about 2018, this parcel to the north was created off this land, and it was rezoned to R1. The property owner is looking to enlarge this particular property, and in doing so will need to take the land here and attach it, and in doing so it needs to go through the rezoning, which shows it to go to R1. Everything else will remain as is. And then, as I mentioned to the committee, there was, when this property was created originally, there was a replacement mound system here along the property line to the north for this residence, because that was a requirement. And if not, then it would have a holding tank. And that was presented to the property owner, and they did some tests out there. They were able to find a replacement site that was to the east. And so with this taking place, it's not gonna affect the replacement system because they found another one and they won't have to rely on a holding tank. Even if they didn't find another one, it still would have been compliant because you can't do a replacement of an existing system to a holding tank. So with that, I'll let the petitioner add anything else. Again, just state your name and address for the record, and then exactly why you're going through this.
My name is William Taft. I live at 3911 288th Avenue, Salem, Wisconsin. I actually building a house on the northern lot, and I live in the southern lot. So I own both properties, and I have houses on both of them. I'm just moving some land from my existing house to my new house, and then I'll eventually sell off my old house, and that'll just over 10.2, and the other one will just have over 8 acres. So give a little bit more. It's all farmland. We're going to keep it farmland.
Okay.
And that's being farmed currently. Just get a little bit more space between everybody. So make everybody happy, a little bit more room for the kids. They lose themselves in the cornfield, oh well. I'm just kidding.
You ever do that?
All right.
I have.
I have too.
Okay. Does the committee have any other questions for the petitioner? Okay.
Not a question, but a comment. I'm very familiar with your area. That's my district, so I drive by you quite frequently.
Okay.
But so you're moving from the southern residence, you're building the new residence just to the north of it, and you're relocating into that one?
Correct, yes. Yeah. And that is, should be the bottom month left, and we'll be moving into the northern residence.
Okay, so that's why I thought it was almost done last
time. It is almost done, yep.
Okay. And then you're selling the other one outright, or keeping it in the family, or what are you doing with the other residence?
It's kind of up in the air. We've kind of thrown it around, see if some of the family members wanted to purchase it. I know my sister-in-law's having more kids, so it's like, yeah, do something here. Otherwise, if they're not going to...
One more block north and build a bigger place.
Exactly. If they do not do anything with it, then I'll be selling it outright.
Thank you. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice place.
Okay. Sounds good. So again, this is a public hearing, so I'm going to... There's nobody else out there, but I'm still going to ask the question. Anybody else here in the public to speak for the petition? Anybody else here in the public to speak for the petition? Seeing none, I'll ask if there's anybody against it. Anybody here to speak against the petition? Anybody here to speak against the petition? Seeing none. Andy, the town took this up, and what did they have to say?
Yes, they took it up on May 8th, and a motion was made to approve, and it was approved unanimously.
Okay, sounds good. So now I'm going to ask for a motion on this rezoning.
Either one. This motion to approve.
Supervisor Beshaw made the motion to approve.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Gashke. So then we're going to, any other comments? Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and take a vote. So youth and governance first, how do you vote on this rezone? All those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No, not opposed. Board members in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing none, so passes unanimously. All right.
Thank you very much.
Got the rezone passed.
Said yes, you did fine.
Yeah.
So has he successfully jumped through all the hurdles now, or has he still got a few more to go?
Well, I mean, the rezone still goes before the county board.
Correct, yeah.
And then that'll get, once that takes place, then it'll get signed.
And when is that actually?
That should be next
20th.
2 weeks.
June 20th.
June 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Right. And then the county executive signs it sometime at the end of that week, and then we'll send you a letter.
Chairman Carroll will present. You don't need to attend. You can, but you don't need to.
You don't need to attend.
Okay.
Unless you want to.
It takes 30 seconds.
That's fine. Okay. I won't attend then.
But the meeting could be...
This hour takes 30 seconds. The rest, yeah, you might wait 3 hours to get to this.
Yeah, until you get your 30-second window.
Yeah. There should be any issues on this, so I'll explain to the board members what's going on, and it'll be one of the items on the agenda list. So.
Very good.
And then you'll hear from... Andy and company.
So. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay. Have a good evening.
Andy, can you pass this one down?
Go find water for that field.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Item number 8 is Garrett Ludick, 9285 368th Avenue, Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, 53181. Owner requesting an amendment of a certified survey map number 2936 via an affidavit. David of Correction, received by Planning Development on April 19th, 2023, and drafted by Mark A. Bolander of Ambit Land Surveying to remove a county highway access restriction on lot 1 of certified survey map 2936 on tax parcel number 604-119-172-1001, located in the town of Randall. So with that, I'll bring up a couple maps to show you where this is. So here is where the property is on County Trunk Highway F and County Trunk Highway P. And with that, I'll show you the certified survey map that we're referencing that has the restriction. And so when the property was originally created back in 2020, there was a restriction here at that time that... It's kind of funny how it's worded, but it's restricted to County Trunk Highway F, meaning that only County Trunk Highway F would provide access to Lot 1. And I think the property where they're siting the home and based upon topography wanted to have that relooked at. We sent it to the Highway Commissioner. They went out there, they looked at it, And they agreed that from a standpoint of vision and with the topography, that they would remove this restriction and that it would allow for Highway P to be able to be asked for an access permit. And then the location is planned to be as far south as possible, but that will be up to the Highway Commissioner. So the main thing before the committee here tonight is just to remove this restriction that then allows for the property owner to ask for an access permit to County Trunk Highway P, which we've already had reviewed by the Highway Commissioner. But if there's something else that I add, if you can just state your name and address for the record again and add any other information.
Sure. To. My name is Garrett Lutek of 9085 368th Avenue, Twin Lakes. I was under the understanding this restriction was put in place back when the church owned the property. And then I purchased lot 1 and 2 in 2021. And then I sold lot 2. They're putting a house up there. Their driveway is actually on the north property line. Yeah, right about where the hand is. And I would like to put my driveway right next to theirs. I would like to build my house so it face east and west, so then I could access. I mean, it would make sense to access that way. Plus, I mean, on highway, coming off of Highway F, it's a pretty big deep ditch. Not that a driveway couldn't be put there, but just it would be a down and an up, take a little, you know, work. So it would work out better for the driveway to be off of Highway P.
Yep, familiar with it, so. I don't have any questions.
Motion.
I am very familiar with it, so I know the people that bought the property next to you there. So that helped them out with some of the improvements. So shouldn't be any issues there. It seems like a good spot. So the only thing, the correction instrument here, the certified survey map number, there's some conditions on here. They should all be pretty standard stuff. Did you have a chance to review it? And do you have any questions about any of the conditions?
I don't think I had. I reviewed it. Yeah, I don't think I had any questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's all subject to approval of the town board. It sounds like the town board. Well,
the town board approved it. Yeah.
This is right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Chair, I move agenda item 8.
Sorry.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. So there's some discussion here too. The formal process here, we gotta ask if there's anybody here for and against it as well. So we do have a motion and a second on the floor, but is there anybody here for this petition? Is there anybody here to speak for the petition? Seeing nobody, is there anybody here to speak against the petition? Anybody here to speak against the petition? Seeing none, we've already got the town request taken care of. We've got the motion and the second. Youth and governance, do you have any questions, Olivia? Okay. So then we'll go ahead and take a vote. All those in favor on youth and governance, state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. The board members, all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing none. Looks like you've got your access to Highway P now.
Thank you.
And your item does not go to county board. This is the final say. So then once your surveyor makes all the adjustments and then submitted, then it can be recorded. So you would continue to work with...
With Mark?
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, so he just needs... I'm sure he knows what to do, but he just has to create a survey that removes that.
It's actually an affidavit of correction, so it's a separate document, yeah. And your surveyor is aware of what that needs to be.
Yeah, I think... Is it? I don't know if you can see that.
Yes.
Is it this?
That's it.
Yeah. So this was already done. This is the actual original copy.
Right. And so there's the conditions that the surveyor is talking about. Yep. Those things need to go. Were already given to your surveyor, I believe, and either he already did that or he will do that.
Okay.
Once that's all done, then it'll be set for recording. So you can just check with Mark.
I'll give Mark a call.
Right.
Because I think I send them the original whole packet. I'm like, here, this is what they're asking for. I don't know what this is on you. I don't know. This is your job. This is what I'm paying you for.
Right.
So.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
All right.
I move the May 10th minutes.
All right. And a motion and a
second.
Second by Supervisor Gashke and second by Supervisor Bashaw.
All those in favor of approving the minutes, and we're going to include the YIG as well.
Aye.
Aye. Board members.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, minutes approved. Any other citizen comments? Seeing none. Any other business?
Two things. So one, we do have the tabled item, and then we have one new item, correct?
Conditional use.
July. And then I guess I'm just going to thank everybody for adjusting their schedules to work with moving it up a week. Appreciate that. So that works with my schedule.
We're all suffering from envy.
I'll show you pictures if you want when we get back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's just salt in the wound.
So very good.
We're expecting you to have a good trip and get back, get there and back safe and be ready for the July meeting.
You bet. Thank you.
So I guess I'll wish you Godspeed on your journeys. How's that sound?
Very good,
Mr. Chair.
Sorry, what's a parcel?
It's a piece of land.
Oh.
So it's another name for a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably more of a large tract of land.
Okay.
Tract, parcel.
Interchange.
Section. Yeah. So, good question. Yeah, I mean, stuff that we don't even think about because you're in it every day, right?
Right, right.
Terms and definitions. So, all right. I'll make a motion to adjourn. I'll do something here tonight.
Second.
Motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor, youth and governance first, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Rest of us?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We're adjourned.